You're listening to Radio Diaries. This is Joe, and I have some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Ear Hustle is back with a new season. Hosts Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods are bringing you unique, surprising stories from four California prisons. This season, they have some truly interesting perspectives. You'll hear from people who are so comfortable in prison that they no longer want to be free. And you'll hear from mothers of inmates about the complicated reality of having adult children in prison. The show is full of candid interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and it just keeps getting better. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts and at earhustlesq.com. This episode of Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radiotopia.
From PRX.
From Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. When I was in high school, I had this amazing history teacher. And one day, he assigned what I thought was the most boring book in the world. There was no story. There was no writer. It was just a collection of people, regular, ordinary people, talking about what they do all day. More than any other book I've ever read, that one is now part of my DNA. Today on the podcast, we're starting a series that we'll return to later in the year. It's a co-production with our friend Jane Sachs of Project And. It's called Working Then and Now. In the early 1970s, radio host and oral historian Studs Terkel went around the country, tape recorder in hand, interviewing people about their jobs.
I'm somewhere in an industrial area.
I'm sitting at the office, in a very well-appointed one it is.
Talking to a jockey, Eddie Arroyo. Eddie's home here with his family.
I'm seated with Jill Friedman in her Greenwich Village studio. She's a photographer and all.
Talking to Steve Hamilton, pitcher.
Nick Lindsay, who are you?
I'm a carpenter from South Carolina.
This is a hospital. Now, where are you?
No, what do you mean, where am I?
Thanks very much. I can use this.
Yeah, I think you
yeah,
can.
Okay, yeah, okay, great. Thank you.
Studs collected more than 130 interviews, and the result was a book published 40 years ago called Working. People talk about what they do all day and how they feel about what they do. And something unprecedented for an oral history collection, it became a bestseller. It was everywhere. High school classrooms, colleges. Something about everyday people talking intimately about their lives struck a chord. After the book came out, the cassettes were packed away in boxes and stored in Studs' home office. So this year, Radio Diaries and our collaborator, Project Anne, have been given access to all the original raw field interviews. Most of them have never been heard publicly before. So today, we're bringing you two of them. Most of Studs' interviews were planned well in advance, but one morning Studs was in a taxi on the way to the airport in Youngstown, Ohio. The driver was a woman named Helen Mogg, a grandmother of five. They began talking, and Studs quickly unpacked his tape recorder and microphone and began recording.
Oh, this thing is way... Oh, I see, I'm in the car, that's why. It's okay, it's about 6 o'clock early morning, and I'm riding with Mrs. Mogg, Miss Helen Mogg, who's a limo driver, one of several drivers for this company.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I was thinking as we're heading now toward the airport in Youngstown, that sun is fantastic. We see part of the red, don't we?
Yes, it is. That's something that an artist can't catch.
How long have you been doing this work?
Well, I've been doing it for a couple of years.
Now we're coming to the key. This is what my book is about you and what you're doing now as a limousine driver. Before your work, most of your life was what?
Well, I did secretarial work, and when I was much younger, I did waitress work.
Does the work day seem long?
Surprisingly, not as long as you would think. First of all, I love to drive. And secondly, you meet people from all walks of life. And many people have problems, but oftentimes it's good to know they can talk to someone who's a total stranger to them. have a habit of confiding in that person because they feel that they'll never see the person again.
So a lot of your passengers tell you things?
Oh, yes. Liking people, I think that's what makes it really.
Yeah. Before I pay you for the cab, could you do this? Describe a day from the moment you get up in the morning. Could you do that, you know? At what time would you say get up in the morning, usually?
Well, like this morning, I was up at 5 because I had an early morning pickup at 6. So I came out. I see a beautiful sky and a beautiful sun. So I know I have a good day ahead of me.
And you work from about 5 till when? When will you get home?
Well, if I'm lucky, I'll be home by 12:30.
At night?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good, that's about 19 hours right there, isn't it?
Something like that today. When I don't have an early morning pickup, I can average out around 12 hours.
Do you look forward to retirement?
No, I'm scared of it. I don't feel retirement is exactly the best of things for people. When you retire, you start to go into a shell, and you're like the forgotten person. You get bogged down in nothing, and you do nothing, and you wind up nothing.
Yeah, that's interesting. So here you put in a minimum of 12 hours a day.
Right.
7 days a week.
So. Right. Oh, yeah.
But you'd feel more tired...
If I didn't.
Yeah.
This is true. Because when I'm not busy, I get very weary. So if I was to retire with nothing to do, I don't think I could stand it.
It's work, though, that you see. Work is the prime part of your life. Work.
Yes, very much so. I think everything hinges on it and doing a good job on it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a firm believer if you're going to do something, do it to the best of your ability or don't do it at all.
Now, do you think a time will come, though, with automation, more and more machines, that the hours will be shorter and shorter, people will have tremendous leisure time?
I'm afraid they will, and I'm afraid that it's not for the best interest. Idle hands make an idle mind. And I'm not in favor of the short hours. I think 8 hours, fine. But like you say, automation will cut work down. It'll also cut a lot of jobs down. And I read an article here not too long ago regarding this future. And I think it'll also increase unemployment, unless they can come up with something else that would make for more employment, but which, who knows what could be.
Well, coming back to the question of work itself, work and life, you see the two connected, don't you?
Very much so.
Work and life.
They work hand in hand. Mm.
That's why the hours then go fast for you.
I would say yes. And people are interesting, no question. And when people say thank you for helping them, and you don't even know how you have helped them, it really makes you feel nice inside. And I don't think there's anything that can take its place.
You look forward to each day?
I do. I do because I never know what's going to happen the next day. And it's always interesting to find out. And if you don't go out there, you're not going to find out by sitting home.
Taxi driver Helen Mogg in an unpublished interview by Studs Terkel for the book Working. Studs didn't do all of his interviews in cars, but that does seem to be our organizing principle today. In this one, Studs is interviewing a car hiker, which is kind of a cooler way of saying parking lot attendant. His name is Loving Al Palmy. And by the way, one thing you may not be able to make out in this recording, inside the car, they're smoking cigars.
I was so good when I was about 19 or 20. I was so good on the parking lot after I left New Orleans. And a guy asked me, he said, he bet me $5 was the second car came in, I wouldn't make a hole. And I went to the end of the lot, and I backed all the way to the end of the lot, and I had one hand, and I whipped in that hole and did it 3 times for him. And the guy asked me, he said, you too short to reach the gas pedal. I said, no, I don't have to push the seat back. This is the way the man leaves the seat. I never push the seat back in no customer car. I don't care how big he is, how tall he is. I could sit and make that swing with that car when I was younger, one swing. I had a customer come in here last week. He said he must have been a good 7 feet or six something, and I'm only 5'3". And he said, you better pull the seat up. And it looked like I was sitting in the back seat and I was barely touching the brakes. And I whipped his car in the hole. He said, you mean tell me, as short as you is, you put that car in the hole once? Man? I said, I never move anybody's seat. Now, I may pull myself up and brace from the wheel, but I never missed that hole and didn't hold my hand from the back. But I say that's why they call me Loving Al the Wizard, because I was one of the best hikers, not bragging on myself. I was one of the best hikers. I didn't care who the guy was. One Swing Al, they used to call me. Because I got the car judged a certain distance to make that one swing.
When you could do just driving the hat without...
Just one hand, no two hands.
One
hand. And never use the door open. Never park a car with the door open. I always have my head inside the car looking from the back view mirror, from the back window. I never have a door open. Like a lot of hikers put their head out the car. I don't. I always look like this.
Look backwards.
Look backwards. I never put my head this way. That's why they call me one swing.
This is when you're moving back.
That's right.
When you're in reverse.
When I'm reversed.
So you could do that with one swing?
One swing.
And that was kind of an art.
Never miss. One swing, Love and Air from 401 South Wabash. I'm known from the Peking to the Hong Kong, to the West Coast, to the Pecos.
One Swing, Lovin' Al Palmy, interviewed by Studs Terkel for the book Working. One thing about these original raw recordings, they were never meant for broadcast. In the book, Studs edited himself out, but in these tapes, you get some insight into the man behind the microphone. You can also hear how Studs was a technical klutz. There's feedback, like, no, bad microphone placement, and sometimes the mic bumps up against things.
No problem. You were saying?
And there are even a few times when he asked the person he's interviewing for help figuring out a problem with his tape recorder.
Sounds like you're monitoring there.
I think we're all right. Oh, yeah, we're very good.
Here's the thing. Studs used all of this to his advantage. He would sometimes ham it up or even fake a problem with a tape recorder just to make people feel comfortable. He said it was an equalizer. If the person helped him with the equipment, it felt like they were all in it together. Studs said it made that person feel needed. Studs Terkel died in 2008. By the way, today's show is a pilot for a really amazing national initiative from our friends at Project AND. It'll include a large-scale traveling photo exhibit, new interviews with former Working subjects, and a week-long NPR series that we're co-producing. You can find out more at their website, projectand.org. That's projectand.org. Special thanks to WFMT, the Chicago History Museum, and the Studs Terkel Radio Archive, which has tons of his radio broadcasts available to the public at studsterkel.org. Also thanks to Studs' former editor, Sidney Lewis. Over the coming year, we'll be digging through more of the original raw interviews from Studs Terkel's book, Working. It's 40 years old this year. We'll let you know what else we find.
Radiotopia.